chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to try to be as clear as I can this morning. Pray with me about my voice this morning. If it cuts out as I'm kind of going along, praise the Lord for it, I suppose, or just land this thing early, huh? And maybe some of you are praying, oh, just let it cut out, just let it cut out. I'll find a way to finish, amen? I will. When there's a will, there's a way. But Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read responsively 69 through 75. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. I'll read and then you read and so forth. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But did not implore them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them what were that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we do thank you for the preaching of your word. And Holy Spirit, I do need you this morning. I pray you give me clarity of thought. Anoint my lips, God. Give me the voice this morning. I pray, God, you give the ears to hear. Pray, God, that we'll walk out of here closer to you than when we came as a result of your word this morning. Pray, God, that you be with hearts this morning, maybe some heavy hearts, maybe some indifferent hearts, maybe some other hearts here that just need a touch from you. And I pray, dear God, that you just go ahead and have your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we know this story of Peter and his three denials. And we know how Jesus had predicted, told Peter this was going to happen. And, of course, I cannot understand how a man of God, and by the way, Peter is a man of God, and we're going to see how he literally went to the bottom and back. He went to the bottom and how he came back. I thank God for the story that he didn't just stay on the bottom. As a preacher, as one of the 12 apostles, you know, Jesus had told him, hey, you're going to go ahead and you're going to deny me. You're going to go ahead and do things that you never thought you would do. And of course, we know the story. Peter said, nah, I'm not going to deny you, God. I'm not going to go ahead and do that, Jesus. I won't deny you. Of course, the story plays out right here that he did deny the Lord, especially in a very dark time of Jesus' life. He couldn't even stand with the Savior, as we'll see along the way. He backslid on God. And I'm just going to ask you a couple questions as we go ahead and talk about the title, To the Bottom and Back. Was there a time that you felt that God was closer to you than now? I want you to search your heart this morning, church, and find out. Just search your heart. Where are you in light of God this morning? Are there some weeds that need to be pulled out? Are there some things in your life that ought not be there that's causing you to be kind of drawn away from God, if you will, not really seeing the full blessings of God, the face of Jesus to literally shine upon your life? Are there some things there? Was there a time that you felt closer to God than you do now? Was there a time when you saw the blessings of God flow upon your life more than you do now? Where are you spiritually this morning? Search your heart. Where are you spiritually? Is your excitement for the things of God? Are you excited about it still? Are you excited about the Word of God? Are you excited about church? Are you excited about God's music? Are you excited about the will of God? Do you still have that fervor, that desire? Say, God, whatever it is, whatever you want to do with my life, you can go ahead and do it. And maybe you've been saved for years, and you know the excitement that you had, and you've been excited for many years, but your heart's grown a little bit cold. Something happened. Something was said. Whatever the case may be, something just kind of, the devil kind of got a hold of your ear a little bit, and maybe you're sitting in church this morning a little bit indifferent. I just don't feel it anymore. But you long for it. You long for that desire. You long to go back to them years, if you will, that man, you got saved and you hit the ground running and you never turned back. But now, there's something Right now, you just kind of, I don't know, I just don't know, I just don't know. You're kind of feeling a little bit distant from God this morning. You don't have to stay at the bottom. You can come back this morning, church. Doesn't matter, individual. I don't know, I don't care where you are. Maybe you are teaching a class. Maybe you are a choir member. Maybe you mean, the preacher can count on you 3 days a week to be in your place, but you know your heart, you and God does. And maybe there's some things in your life that you know that's causing you to be a little bit distant, causing you to be a little bit cold from the things of God, from the men of God, from the Word of God. And you know that relationship's a little bit, there's a little strife there. The story that goes like this, the little parable that I came across this week. Seems that there was this wild duck who with his mates was flying in the springtime northward across Europe. During the flight, he came down into a Danish barnyard where there were some tame ducks. He enjoyed some of their corn. He stayed for an hour, then for a day, then for a week, then for a month. And finally, because he relished the good fare and the safety of the barnyard, he stayed all summer. But one autumn day, when the flock of wild ducks were winging their way southward again, they passed over the barnyard, and their mate heard their cries. He was stirred with a strange thrill of joy and delight, and with a great flapping of wings, he arose in the air to join his old comrades in their flight. But he found that his good fare had made him so soft and heavy that he could not rise higher than the eaves of the barn. So he dropped back again to the barnyard and said to himself, "Oh well, my life is safe here, and the food is good." Every spring and autumn, when he heard the wild ducks honking, his eyes would gleam for a moment, and he would begin to flap his wings, but finally the day came when the wild ducks flew over him and uttered their cry, but he paid not the slightest attention to them. What this parable can teach us, it teaches us how the soul can forget its high ideals and standards and be content with lower things. You see, when a Christian goes ahead, and I'm going to use this mic here this morning a little bit. Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me now? Amen? Just like Verizon, all right? But when a Christian goes ahead and they had that excitement and so forth, if we're not careful, we can kind of get, what's the word I'm looking for? It left me, but we can get content, if you will, with the victories of the past. We can get content, if you will, with the souls that we won of the past. We can kind of get content, if you will, kind of, well, you know, I'm here in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and, you know, you might be drawing some of the things from the Word of God. You might be absorbing some things, but if you're not careful, the Christian can be just satisfied with where they are, and they could be saved for many years. There was many years of growth. There was many things, but somewhere they plateaued, and they kind of became complacent. That Sunday school class that they had for so many years, well, I'm not really needed. By the way, you are still needed there. And that bus route, that ministry, the church service, the preaching, the music, all that goes along with it, you know, the joy you once had, you're excited, you're growing, but you kind of, if you're not careful, you be complacent, thereby causing you to be content with lower things. The soaring that you had with the Lord, if you will, the walk that you had with God, if you will, that's precious time in your prayer closet. Boy, you came out sunshiny, if you will, from that prayer closet. People knew that you'd been with God just by your countenance and by your demeanor, but that's kind of got an old hat, and you just maybe became a little bit complacent, and eventually the 3 days, the three services a week becomes a two. And eventually it goes to a one, and then it kind of gets to a point where what in the world happened, and we're so far over here. You know why? Because we became contented with lower things. This story can teach us how we can forget what the main thing really is. And by the way, the main thing is Jesus Christ this morning. It's not about us. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's not about toys. But the main thing is Jesus Christ. The main person is Jesus Christ. And God, what is it that you want to do in my life? But if you're not careful, you be contented with the things that the world has to offer. You be contented with the whispering of the devil's whispering in your ear, if you will. You be contented if you will. And the truth of the matter is, the reason why Christ saved us mainly was to glorify Him. He was His purpose for us to be saved. He created us to save us, and now we are to glorify Him. My question is this morning, are you doing it? The very best you know how, are you giving your all to God? The very best you know how is your life. I'm talking about areas of your life. You may need to search a little bit. You may need to scope out a little bit. But there's some areas in your life that say, God, I know you don't like that. I know you don't like it, God. Today, I'll go ahead and do something about it. It might be music. It might be shows that we watch on TV. It might be a whole score of different things. And the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to deal with that. I want you to go ahead and get it right. Because it could be that very thing. It could be that one thing. We'll see in Peter in just a moment. It could be that one thing that could go ahead and cause us to be complacent. And before you know it, causing other people, whatever happened to so-and-so. Hey, listen. Is the story I read a little while ago about the ducks, is this your story? Was there a time that you were soaring higher with the Lord than you are now? Every single one of us, doesn't matter who we are, we go through periods in our Christian life where we play the prodigal. We wander from the Heavenly Father's house in His care, thinking we can try something new and be happy or happier than find something happier than being in the center of God's will. Let me just say this. The safest and the most happiest place that you can be in today is right directly where God wants you to be. Right in the center of God's will. You want safety in your life today? Hey, Daddy, you want safety in your family's life today? You find yourself right in the center of God's will. You find yourself reading the Word of God and praying, and you bending a knee and saying, God, you give me something today. And because them little boys and girls that you're raising, that God gave you the responsibility to raise, they see whether you're real or not. They see whether you really want to do God's will or not. Hey, mama, you want safety for your kids. You want safety for your household. Hey, you go ahead and find yourself in the center of God's will. And if they see you get excited about the things of God, hey, I've said it before, they might just say, you know what? There's a spark here in my home. There's a Holy Spirit presence here in my home. Hey, I want this for my life. I want this for my marriage someday. I want to go ahead and be what God wants me to be. But if you get complacent, you know what? It's just going to trickle down to them. If I got complacent, it'd affect my family. If I got complacent, it'd affect the church. If I got complacent, it would affect a whole lot of people in our life. And there are times we do play the prodigal. We go through periods of life, but the Holy Spirit said, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And that's the time to wake up. And you got to bend a knee. And you may have to do some weeping and wailing at that altar and say, God, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I want to be the kind of Christian that you want to be. I want to be the kind of daddy. I want to be the kind of Christian leader. I want to be the kind of bus captain that you want me to be. But you know, God, you're pinpointing some things. With Peter, Jesus already predicted it. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to go ahead and deny me. God, Peter, no, that's not going to go ahead and happen. But it happened. And you know what? He found himself warming himself by the devil's crowd, warming himself by the devil's fire. He found himself wandering away from God. When they went ahead and led Jesus off, he stood afar off. He followed afar off. Let me ask you a question. In the very time that Jesus needed Peter the most to go ahead and walk by Jesus, during the very trying time of Jesus' life, one of his men of God, one of his disciples whom he chose, couldn't even associate himself with him. Sad time. Hey, is this your story? The things that we see here with Peter this morning, is it your story this morning? You say, I don't feel affected. It may be just a little seed that sprouted just recently. That little seed of bitterness, that little seed of sin, whatever it may be. You think, oh, this one little thing's not going to go ahead and bother me in my Christian life. Let me tell you something. It'll get watered enough that it'll grow, it'll grow, it'll grow, it'll grow to an effect. Where are you now? It'll grow so big that it'll weight you down that you'll be so far away from God. No, you can't lose your salvation. Thank God for that. But the truth of the matter is, we wandered so far away from God, and we wonder, why, how did I get in this mess? Let me tell you something. I know a little bit what I'm talking about. I visited the bus routes. I visited some poorer areas. I've even visited some homes that have the stability, if you will, as far as the world's concerned, the jobs and so forth, and the turmoil that's come simply because they thought it would never happen to them. They thought that the turmoil would never happen to them. I only picked up one little thing. I only picked up this song or this sin or whatever, this drug or whatever. I never thought it would go ahead and get to this. Never thought it would get to this. Nobody ever does. We wander sometimes. All of us, we've had periods, we wander from the Father's house in his care. But if we are a sold out Christian, if we don't become a sold out Christian, we'll never be satisfied with the things of the Lord. Boy, you know the thing this morning, you ought to go ahead and say, okay, God, I want to be what you want me. I want to sell out to you, God. I want God you to go ahead and fall all over me. I want you to go ahead and plant some things in my life. I want to be the strong daddy that I ought to be. I want to be the kind of preacher I ought to be. I want to be the kind of leader I ought to be. But if we don't decide, okay, God, here's my life, you do what you will, you know, we'll never be satisfied with the things of God. You know, I'm a happy man this morning because I'm right where God wants me to be. I don't have any desire to move, to change from the book, change anything. I have every desire to go ahead and stand strong, and I'm a happy man this morning. I'm right where God wants me to be. But we ought to sell. We'll never be satisfied to waddle on the ground like that old duck if we'd sell out to God. When God created us to fly above, he created us to go ahead and soar high, if you will. We shouldn't be content with the lower things of this world. You see, a life lived for the Lord is much happier and contented life if you really allow him all of you. But he deserves all of you this morning. What didn't he give you? Did he give you his all? Did not God give his only son? But he deserves all of you this morning. He gave you his all through his son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't deserve the leftovers this morning. Well, God, I just have a little bit here. Just have a little. No. He deserves all of you this morning. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We do not, as a child of God, have to live the low life of worldly living when through Christ, he's given us all the freedom that we can get. He has gone ahead and set us free, John 8:32. The truth shall make you free. The Bible says he's given you freedom. He's given us a life that is more abundant than any lifestyle the world offers. The Bible says in John 10:10, he's given us an abundant life. He has given us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Galatians 5:22 and 23. Boy, that's quite a life when you think about it. He's given us all the joy that we can have access to through him. He's given us life. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. He's given us the fruits of the Spirit. Boy, that's quite a life. We have access to all them benefits, but we don't take them. We don't take them. We find ourselves, or we fail to go ahead and plug into the very one that will give you the fruits and the strength that you need. That's the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when I got saved, I got all of the Holy Spirit given to me. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask me a question. Did the Holy Spirit get all of me? That's the key this morning. You know, you've got all the access. God gave you all the Holy Spirit when you got saved that there is to offer, all of them. But did he get all of you? That's the key. You know what? If we sell out as a Christian, we sell out for God, and we go ahead and let the Holy Spirit convict and work in our lives, you know what? Some of this other junk in our life, some of this wondering about things, some of this criticism that we say, some of this stuff that we listen to, whatever, you know, they wouldn't be an issue if we'd allow the Holy Spirit to work like he should. If we'd go ahead and tap into them benefits, if you will. In the same passage of Galatians, the flesh and the spirit, the Bible says, war against each other, and the one that we feed and entertain the most wins. You know, you feed the flesh, the things of the world, and the flesh, you know what? You're going to go ahead, the flesh is going to go ahead and win. But you go ahead and you feed the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through the preaching, and through not hanging around the wrong crowd, and not listening to all the criticism, and all this and this about God, and the things of God. You know what? It just might be that you go ahead and have some success in Christian life. It just might be that you go ahead and stay soaring above the circumstances, and stay soaring where God wants you to be. But as a result of us not giving God our all, you know what? We become contented with the lower things. The state of backsliding can happen to any one of us. What we would call the best of Christians, it can happen to them. I've seen it. I can give you illustration of illustration. Thinking of a young lady, I thought, man, this young lady was going to go far. She had the potential to go far. In my former youth group, This young lady, man, she just, every time she had a question, she'd be by my office. But my teenagers, then they called me, Brother Sean, would you go ahead and pray with me? But just often, just come by my office. I'd have a word of prayer with her. She didn't have a stable home or anything, but she relied upon my wife and I for so much advice and different things, and the men of God through the church and the school. She was in the Christian school and so forth. And but she was just doing so good. She went on the youth conference trips. You could always count on her to be in all the activities. You could count on her to be in her place. She was walking with God. She'd oftentimes come by in my office. Hey, Brother Sean, can I go ahead and share some things that God showed me this morning in my Bible reading? You know, she'd go ahead and just, you could see her spirituality just going. She was just going so far. She had the desire, man. She made decisions. I want to stay clean and pure. I want to walk to the marriage altar clean and pure. I want to go ahead and live for God. She'd surrendered to the mission field, and she'd done all of this. But one day she missed. Huh, that's strange. She didn't show up Sunday night. Started on a Sunday night. She didn't show up to youth group at 6 o'clock, and then, of course, 7 o'clock, church hour, Sunday night, she didn't show up. And I called her. Oh, I was not feeling well, brother. I said, okay, missed you. And she didn't show up Wednesday night. She was in school throughout the week. I saw her a little bit, but she found some excuse not to stay. We had teen soul winning right after school, and she always stayed for teen soul winning, but she did not stay. And I said, what's going on? What, you know, red flags started coming up. Thursday morning, she didn't show up to school. And I went by her place. Her dad was there, and by her place, talked to her a little bit. I said, I'm concerned for you. I got a red flag. She says, why are you having a red flag? Come on, Pastor Weeks. Yeah, I have a red flag. There's something not right. Oh, everything's fine. Something not right. Everything's fine, Pat. I said, the very fact that you're getting frustrated with me tells me there's something not right. And she just said with a cold glare, Pastor, everything's okay. I wasn't convinced of it. I prayed with her. She went to school that Friday. That Saturday, she got out with a bunch of friends. And she went ahead and did some things she ought not do. She became pregnant. All in a matter of a week's time, all this started happening. And I went ahead and I talked to her for a little while, and she just was very cold, and she stopped church altogether, and I tried to keep her. She moved on. About, I think, a couple, two, 3 years later, she went ahead and I saw her in a store. I said, hey, how you doing? She was her countenance was so low. She just really could barely break a smile. I said, how you doing? You know, I pray for you. She says, you're the only one that ever does. I said, what's going on? Well, she says, I had the baby. My boyfriend left, living up northern Maine by myself in this little dingy apartment, raising my kid. I'm all alone. Took her out, bench out there in front of the store, talked to her a little bit, prayed with her, and I said, you know what, you can come back. God doesn't want it. I said, you can come back. God, you can come back. And she tried to listen to me, but she really didn't want to. And she had tears in her eyes as I was talking, and I said, well, Crystal, I got to run. Her name was Crystal. It's okay. Nobody would know her. She goes ahead, and I was halfway to my truck there, and she yells across, Pastor Weeks, Pastor Weeks. Oh, tears coming down. She says, I know you love them teenagers. I know you love them teenagers, she was yelling across. I know you love them teenagers. I know, I've seen you get up and preach, and I've seen you even cry over these teenagers, and I know that you love me. I know that you cared for me. Tell them. They don't want this. That they don't want this. And tears came down my eyes. Said, you can come back. I said, I don't want. Just too far gone. You can come back. You can be restored. But just, she wouldn't take it. Today, she's still alone, and as far as I heard. This morning, some of you may be at the very bottom. It's by the grace of God, you may be here this morning, and it's by the grace of God, maybe you're on the verge. I'm out of here. I'm out of the church. I'm out of the preaching. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. It's by the grace of God that you're here. Why? Because you've hit rock bottom, and you feel like there's no hope. There is hope, and we're going to see it this morning, life of Peter.
You know what? Peter had the best of everything. He followed Jesus. He knew Jesus. He loved Jesus. He was a saved man. He walked with God. He recognized who God was. He knew everything about Jesus and so forth. He served him. After all, one of the 12 apostles, he was a man of God. In the very darkest hour of Jesus' life, he couldn't even go ahead and follow him. The truth of the matter is, maybe under the sound of my voice this morning, you know what? You know what? You're down at the very bottom this morning, and Jesus says you can come home softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. All you have to do is just go ahead and come unto him, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He'll go ahead and take care of you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You may feel by yourself this morning, but you have the whole promise of the word of God. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's there with you this morning, and he wants to pick you up. He wants to pick you up this morning. Doesn't matter where you are. You might have the preacher fooled. You might have everybody else in the world fooled this morning. Because you're here every single week, you're in your place every single week, but you know in your heart there's something that's just all right, and you and God know about it. And if you don't go ahead and take care of it, church, if you don't go ahead and take care of it, individual, if you don't go ahead and take care of it, you know, you're going to find yourself at the very bottom, and if you're not careful, it's going to be very hard once you get there to ever get back. Truth of the matter is, I've seen it. I've seen very few, when they go ahead and hit rock bottom, ever coming back. Don't get me wrong, I've seen the success, and we see it with Peter, thank God. I've seen the success of others who did hit rock bottom, go through it all, and they came back. No, they could never have everything that they could have had they stayed on course. But they came back. I thank God for them stories. I can tell you other stories. I'm thinking of a preacher, man. He was telling me this illustration before he was saved. He'd heard the gospel and all that, but the truth of the matter is he had hit rock bottom. It was before he was a preacher, but he had hit rock. He played with everything before he was saved, and he even made a profession of faith. He says, I may have been saved at that young age, but, you know, I didn't live it, and I went ahead and I got things settled. Let me tell you something. From that day forward, you know what? God went ahead and used him mightily, and he didn't stay on the bottom. Today, he's pastoring a great church today. God's used him mightily. I'm saying there's other stories. You know, there's so many people that may be there. There's some that may be down there this morning, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay on the bottom. You can come back this morning. Peter, we all get in that state if we're not careful. Even the finest Christians will go through it. That's what we see with this good Christian, if you will, Simon Peter. Our text tells us of a man who walked with Christ. He served the Lord, yet puts the story of this lazy, complacent duck into reality. Our text finds Peter in the wrong place, doing the wrong things with the wrong crowd. By the way, it just didn't happen. It started with some little seed, if you will. Started with some little, denial or whatever. He said, no, it won't happen. But if you're not careful, you can go ahead and say, oh, that never happened to me. I'll never go down to the bottom like that. That's never going to go ahead and happen to me. Oh, yes, it will. It didn't just happen. He did not just wake up. Peter just didn't wake up one morning. Nobody ever wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to go ahead and deny Christ. I'm going to go ahead and turn away from the word of God. I'm going to go ahead and turn on living right. I'm not going to even admit that I know Christ. Nobody just wakes up and says that's going to happen. He did not just get up and say, I'm going to go ahead and follow the wrong crowd today. I'm going to warm myself by the devil's fire. It just didn't happen in just one little instant. It took a little bit of time, backsliding, and that is just what it is. We see in Peter's life, it was a process that took over a period of time. The first one crucial area of a Christian life starts slipping, and then another area of the Christian life starts slipping, and before you know it, backsliding happens. People ask, whatever happened to so-and-so? They were so faithful to church. They were so faithful to prayer meeting. They were so faithful to the events of the church. And you see them walking down the store and so forth. They had that countenance. They had that spring in their step. They were excited. But now you see them walking around town. You see them walking down. They don't have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because they left, if you will, the presence of God. They didn't go ahead and leave salvation. Thank God that when we do go ahead and blow it, we are saved. We're written in the name of the Lamb's Book of Life, but when we decide to do our own thing, that's when the blessings of God stops. No wonder why we don't have God's face shining on us, simply because we left God. By the way, God didn't leave you. We're the ones that did the moving. The backslidden ones are always the one that does the moving. God went ahead and stayed put. Whatever happened to so-and-so, people scratch their head in bewilderment when they once see an active Christian out in the slums of the world, living like the world, asking, what happened? What happened? What happened was this. They missed one day of daily devotions. And then that day went to another. They missed one church service, which they never did before, and then they came, and then they missed another. They came in from filling the ministry, or they called in, if you will, from filling in their ministry duty for no apparent reason, whatever, and then it became easier to do it again, and they are all out of it altogether. They missed church more than come back, and the preacher who once they enjoyed and prayed for, his sermon rubbed them the wrong way, or they became critical, and they're gone. Or the preacher said something they didn't like, or they missed. I've seen this happen. Nobody shook my hand. I had a couple do that right after handshaking time. I brought them to church. I discipled them. I saw great things happen in them, but whatever reason, they failed to shake their hand, and they started walking home. I said, preacher, what do I do? They're not here. I don't know what happened. You know, he says, you know, church was getting, you know, of course, it was in process. He says, go get them. I then got my van and went and got them because I picked them up on the bus downtown, a couple, adult couple, and picked them up. I said, what are you doing? They were only a few hundred yards down the road. What are you doing? Oh, pastor, nobody shook my hand. That's the first time I ever heard that. I never, ever heard that in my life. And, you know, in all due respect and in all the kindness and love that I could go ahead and muster, I said, could I ask you a question?
What?
Did you shake anybody's hand? Did you go out and shake somebody's hand during handshaking?
Well, no.
And I said, in all due respect and all kindness, I said, do you think your hand would have got shaken if you went ahead and extended a hand to somebody else? That's a no-brainer. I know that. But I have to go ahead and keep it simple for me, all right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
I said, now, do you think in all reality, do you think it was really worth leaving church over your hand not being shaken because you could have done something about it?
Well, I never thought about that.
We went back to church. It's amazing. Some of the things that we'll go ahead and let affect our lives. One who's in process of backsliding is generally the one who finds fault with the church and with the preaching, with the people, with the preacher, with everything that goes on, with that kind of godly living. And it did not just happen. Before we know it, we let things keep us from where God wants us to be, and we get into a place of us eventually, that backslidden one. I don't know what happened, preacher. You know, they're down the slums, and I go by and visit them and try to help them. I don't know how this happened. How did I get here in this mess? Before you know it, you're no longer soaring high above the world, and you become satisfied with where you are. You no longer care about reaching the lost and teaching them about that abundant life that Christ offers. Hey, that's what happened to Peter. Jesus told him, hey, you're going to go ahead and deny me. Peter said, no. I wonder if some are like Peter in this room right now. I wonder if you've allowed your heart to grow cold to the things of God. I wonder if your love for Jesus that you once had, well, yeah, that fervent love for Jesus has diminished a bit. It's not as bright as it once was. The things of God are not as glorious as they once were. That Bible reading, that church service, that ministry, that prayer, that soul winning that you once were a part of, it's just not so glamorous. It's just not so exciting. You wonder what happened. How did I get in this rut? You may be like Peter this morning. I'm not going to deny Christ. I'm not going to, but you fill it in. You realize where you are and where you're going in this backslidden state. And you wonder, is there any hope? Can God restore me? From this passage, we see how Peter literally wound up on the bottom and how he got back again. I'm going to look at a couple things. Number one, we see Peter's faith. Luke 5:8, John 1:42, you can write these down. Due to time, I can't turn to all these. But it indicates that Peter, he was a saved man. He had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what salvation is about. It's a personal meeting, if you will, with Jesus. Matthew 16:16, the Bible teaches or indicates that he was settled on who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. He saw Jesus work miracles. He saw Jesus do a great work. He heard Jesus preach. He knew beyond any doubt at all that Jesus was everything he claimed to be. This too is essential for salvation. Peter knew that everything began and ended in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's necessary to becoming a child of God, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Matthew 10:2 talks about how we see Peter is in that list of being one of the 12 apostles. He's one of the 12. Well, what an honor and a blessing that must have been. He was called by Jesus. Hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to go ahead and put up what you're doing, give up what you're doing. I want you to follow me. And he went ahead and did that. What an honor and a blessing it was to be a disciple of Christ. What a position of power that God, that Jesus had given to him. He was a dedicated soldier. John 18:10 reveals that he even tried to defend the life of Jesus Christ. Peter was no slouch. He wasn't lazy. He knew better. There was a time that he was not complacent in the Christian life. He was on fire for God. He was following Jesus. There was a time that he could sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If no one joins me, I will still follow. No turning back. There was that time that he was like that. He was no slouch. There was a time he stood with Christ without any reservation. There was a time that he loved the Lord and lived for God. Simon Peter was no doubt a saved man. He was born again. His name was written in heaven. He was a child of God, yet he still winds up in the wrong place with the wrong things, with the wrong crowd. Do you think that your spiritual walk just ends at once you get saved? No, it shouldn't. But God desired, John 15 talks about we ought to be growing. We ought to be, you ought to be closer to God today than yesterday. Are you? As a result of your walk. Are you closer to God this month than you were last month? Are you closer to God this year than you were last year? And what I'm trying to say, you know what? Your Christian walk is more than just getting saved. He wants you to go beyond that. Your spiritual walk doesn't end there at salvation. It merely begins there. Salvation is a finished matter the instant you receive Jesus Christ. Listen, but salvation is a relationship, listen to me, that must be cultivated and nurtured and cared for if you are to have his full blessing and power on your life. It needs to be cultivated. You need to go ahead and nurture that relationship. It's not enough to believe in the right things. You must also believe in the right way. The truth is that you've been with Jesus. If you have been with Jesus, the thing is, if you've been with Jesus, you know, it'll show on you. People can tell. People can tell by your countenance, by your demeanor, if you've been with Jesus. Acts 4:31, the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, the Christians here in Acts, when they spent with the Lord, you know what? Time with the Lord. Everybody knew what was going on. Boy, the place was shaken. I remember an illustration, Paul and Silas in prison. They were singing in prison. By the way, they didn't look at their circumstance and say, this is just unfair. They were singing in prison. It's a passage there that, you know what? All the people heard them. You know what? Here's these two preachers bound up in prison. You know, yeah, their heart's desire would be out there going ahead and preaching the gospel, doing what God called. But you know what? Right now, they're in prison. And they're there singing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. They were singing praises to the Lord. They didn't go and say, well, woe is me. This just isn't right. This isn't fair, God. Why is this happening to me? This just isn't. They didn't start complaining. You know what? They went ahead. They had a testimony. And they were singing loud. And the people went ahead and heard them. Let me ask you a question. You're down in the valley. When things happen to you, how do you respond? God, this isn't fair. Or, God, I don't know what you're doing, but you know, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go ahead and trust you. Our bus broke down. I was going to tell more a little bit about it the other day. Our bus broke down the other night. You know, right there, Holyoke. Whoever thought, right there, it was a sign. We pulled over. One of my chaperones said, preacher, are you concerned? I said, no. I wasn't really concerned at all. I said, you know what? God's got to do something here. And I said, Brother Ron, you need to just keep it. You know, it was idling, but there's just no power. Just needed Jesus, amen. Just hadn't got saved yet, you know what I mean? But that's okay. We can laugh, amen. Just kidding, all right? But I said, you know what? There's about three miles from here. There was a sign, Holyoke. You know what? We have a church over there. I preach at it. The Roblins went to there before they came over here and so forth. I said, man, we're going to get that bus there. Said, everything's going to be all right. I was on the way, I was thinking of plan A, plan B, and different things. But I said, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. I was smiling. I was just kind of excited because I knew God was going to do something. I knew God was going to go ahead and do something. We got there over a period of time. Mechanic was there, and just to make a long story short, you know, it got fixed. It got fixed. So was I back on the road? We got went to Burger King. They had to go ahead and get nourishment first, get back on the road, and we got Burger King. Was back on the road. Oh, a few hours later, about 150 so miles down the road. Oops, it happened again. We already had a couple factors of why it happened. Brother Ron and I were talking. We kind of knew, we thought we should have done one other thing while it was there. We knew one of the situation that was fixed, needed to be fixed, but we still knew one other thing. But this time the bus went installed and I said, okay. All right. God, this one's a little bit different. I don't see Holyoke. I don't see a few, you know, we're here off from 90 pulled way over. And so we were there a few minutes. Bus wouldn't start. It was turning over. I said, okay. Brother Ron and I, we thought this is going to start. It's going to start. Let's just let it cool down a little bit. We're going to be just fine. And finally, you know, but I was thinking, you know what? When the police come, they're going to want us to move. I said, Lord, I said, I really don't want the expense of moving. And this, you know, I was thinking of different things. I said, Lord, if you could get us out of this jam, you did it before. This would be really, really good. I mean, and I was still smiling. I was still upbeat, man. I mean, you know, some of the, you okay? I said, yeah, everything's fine, man. Everything's, you know, God's going to do something. And you know what? He did. The police went ahead and showed up, and a couple of my chaperones back there, and they were conversing. I said, Ron, no joke. I said, start it. Try it. Start the bus. Just try it. I know we tried a couple of minutes. Just try it. Started. And the police went ahead, and just a few miles down the road was the rest area. We wanted to get to the rest area. And a few miles down the road, went ahead and got to the rest area, and the police followed us. Hey, if you need anything, you just let us know. I said, thank you very much. We're all set. Thank you. God bless you. And we were there for a little while, tanked up, and we did an oil change, right? Not we. Brother Ron got dirty. He did the oil change. I just take a little bit of credit, amen? But, you know, did an oil change, and we knew, we were told about that kind of motor, different things, whatever, a fresh oil change, whatever. There's just a thing there. It's just something. I don't understand it all, but whatever happened, did an oil change right there, and it worked. It worked. I mean, it had something to do with the oil working with the fuel pump. It all has something to do with that. But whatever, it's fine. We were back on the road again. We were back on the road. I was singing, man, and it was my turn to drive, and I was up there saying, God, man, you're so good. God, you know, they're all back there sleeping. They missed it, but I was up there driving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. I said, boy, my teenagers got to see that. They got to see you work. You know, they got to go ahead and see that, man. That was the most exciting. They got to, it wasn't preacher. It wasn't Brother Ron, and it definitely wasn't Brother Pat. He's not here, so I can say that. He was one of my drivers, but it was God. It was God. And I was up there singing and so forth. And Brother Jeff Burch, when he comes up and he says, Pastor, you're up here singing. Are you okay? I said, I'm just excited. Did you see what God did back there? Yeah. He was pretty excited too. I said, yeah. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah. He says, you're not shook up at all. I said, no. I said, we're going to Hammond, Indiana. We're going to get some good preaching. I said, you know what? The devil's doing everything he can not to get us here, but he ain't going to win. He ain't going to win. I already had plan A, plan B all figured out. We were going to figure something out. We would have gone out and bought a big new tour bus or something. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And I'm taking my time, but you know, the bottom line, I saw God work. I got to see these teenagers see it too. That was the big thing. I can tell you other stories about you past youth conference trips where God just worked miraculously, and there were much worse breakdowns than that. But God just worked. I don't know why I got on that, but you know what? Listen. Listen, I don't know where you are this morning. I know where you are this morning. But you know what? God wants to do a work in your life. You may feel like you're at the bottom, and you know you're saved, just like Peter. You know you're saved. We looked at Peter's faith. He was a child of God. He was no slouch. He stood for God. He preached. He worked for the Lord Jesus. He got to work with him hand in hand, if you will. But we need to go ahead and get excited again. He should have just stayed excited. If you spend time with Jesus, you know, the world will know it. This is where I was, by your walk and by your talk and by your confidence. You know what? The world ought to see that you're saved. The world ought to see that you're confident. You know what? What would have happened if I, as the leader, Brother Ron and I as the leaders, oh no, teenager, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know what? We'd have been done. Really. You know what? In the world, talk about unsaved family members, talking about unsaved loved ones, work, people you work with. They see us get all frantic. Oh, you know, and they say, they know you go to church. They know you're saved, but you're all frantic. You know what? Boy, there's something different when you're saved. Man, people ought to see that your demeanor is different. Yeah, you'll have the valley. But don't forget, Christian, who's with you in the valley? The God in the mountain is still God in the valley. You know, he's right there. We can have confidence in that. And when the valleys come, you can have confidence. You can walk and you can talk about the Lord. You can just keep on going. But if you do not work on that relationship with God, you too, if you're not careful, you too will be at a place where you wandered far away from God. And today, I challenge you, won't you come home? You know, Peter, he was a Christian. Peter, he fell. We have established that he was a saved man. But what was he doing in the place with these people, with the world? We see his faith, but we see how he fell. Peter fell in his words. The Bible says that he rebuked Christ's words, Matthew 16, 21 and 22. Jesus was foretelling what would happen. Jesus says, Jesus rebuked Christ. Oh, that's not going to go ahead and happen. He rejected Christ's words. Matthew 26, 33 through 35. You can read that later. I got to keep moving. But he rejected Christ's words. He wouldn't go ahead and listen to it. In both of these examples, Jesus warned him, yet he rejected the words of God. And by the way, the moment that we reject God's word, the moment we say, no, that's not it. No, that doesn't happen. No, 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 to God's word. Let me tell you something. We are headed for a downward spiral. The moment that we reject God's word, this is what happened to Peter. He rejected God's word. And the moment what we do, we can go ahead and plan on traveling a slippery slope. Peter rejected the truth and went on to establish his own truth, if you will. That's what man does, by the way. They turn the truth of God into a lie, the Bible says in Romans. When Peter opened his mouth, the rebellion in his heart came out. And by the way, when your heart is not in line with Christ, it will eventually reveal itself through its words. The Bible says in Matthew 12, 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The rebellious heart will soon reveal who you are. That's what happened to Peter. A rebellious, wayward heart will cause the mouth to reveal its true character. A wayward heart will make one mean. A wayward heart will go ahead and cause you to hurt others with your tongue. A wayward heart will go ahead and talk about people behind their backs. A wayward heart will go ahead and have a negative attitude about everything that is right, about everything that is good. It is a sure sign of a heart that's taken the words of Jesus and says, Lord, I hear what you say, but I have a better way of living my life than your way. When your heart is rebellious, it's a sure sign of you know what is right. You say, God, I'm trying some things my way. You want to try new things? You want to do this or that? That attitude is bringing nothing but pride. If you do not keep your heart close to Jesus and remain tender to where he can make you and mold you, you're going to fall in your words just like Peter. You will say stuff that you never thought you would say. You will do things that you never thought you would do. Peter fell in his words. He fell in his walk. He fell asleep. He followed afar off. We talked about that. It was as if he didn't even want to be recognized with the Savior. That happens to one that's backslidden. Who? The maid goes, aren't you part of the crowd? No, 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 no. Other people notice it. No, 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 no. Other people know. Yeah, you're part of Jesus. No, I'm not. And the cock crew. Thank God for the cock crowing. We'll talk about that in a moment. That was a sign of him getting back to God. He fellowshipped around the wrong fire with the wrong crowd, the Bible says. He found a hard way. He found out the hard way that you cannot hide in sin's presence when it's in your life. You can't hide from it. You cannot hide from it. You can go ahead and pretend. You can pretend all you want for a while. But you know, eventually it just shows up through the heart. Eventually it will show up. In the hour that the Lord needed him most, he fell asleep. He couldn't stay awake for 1 hour to pray with his master. After that shameful event, we see Peter following Jesus to judgment. You see where he is. He wouldn't even walk along the Savior's side. He's afar off. We too often do the same thing. Truth is revealed in our life of things that will happen. And when they do, we start to follow adrift. And we wander far away from God. That is why people stray from the preaching. That is why church houses aren't filled anymore with the, because they don't want to hear the solid preaching of the Word of God and the preacher. Often because the preaching of the Word of God reveals the truth. We sit there and I don't like that. And we become critical. We can become critical of the truth. Peter knows this and he follows the fire. He denies Christ. He winds up sitting in fellowship with the Lord's enemies. He's enjoying their fire. He's speaking their language. All the while he denies the very Lord who saved him. Is that part of your story today? You know, the world will just leave you hopeless. The world will leave you lonely. The world will leave you eventually. By the way, the crowd that leads you into the world, when you get caught, red-handed, so to speak, they leave. And you're here, and what in the world happened? Hey, listen, the world will leave you wondering. Can you imagine how Peter's rebellion hurt Jesus? Jesus knew he was following afar off. And one of the very apostles, disciples that he called, couldn't even stand with him. Can you imagine how that hurts Jesus? And if it hurt Jesus about Peter, if we are doing the same thing, do you think Jesus up there saying, "Good job"? That hurts him. He wants you to be drawn closer to him. But because of sin and because of whatever, we've wandered far away from God. You may be here today, following the same path. You're just beginning this path, and the Holy Spirit's revealing to you as I speak that something needs to be done. There was a time that you walked with God, but you missed a day. And then you know. There was a time that the Word of God was precious, but you know. There was a time that the moment spent with the Master was as precious as pearls and diamonds. But now, because of whatever, you know. There was a day, there came a day, however, that sleep was easier than praying. There came a day that slumber was preferred over the study of the Word of God. There came a day that a little folding of the hands, as the Bible says, became more preferred than time in His presence, in His Word, and in His house. The toys that we can all attain in this life that we cannot take with us and they'll all pass away, they became more commonplace and more important than the moments of study with the Lord Jesus Christ. We care more about our boats and our money and our thrills, our video games, our friends, our wants, our desires than we desire to fulfill the will of God in our life. Again, I say all them things are bad. They just become bad when we replace God with them. As a result of this, we don't feel like living for the Lord. We've left the Lord, we've left His will, we've left His divine plan. We cannot feel as close to Him as we once did. We don't feel the joy that we once had. We don't have the happiness that we once had. He doesn't seem as real. Like Peter, instead of walking close to Him, we find ourselves walking afar off. Hey, is that your Savior up there? Who's that? Who's that? And we find ourselves with the wrong crowd, warming our hands by the devil's fire, and you wonder, how in the world did this happen? The crowd that you're with pulled you away. You find yourself enjoying their crowd and their stuff more than the church crowd. You spend time doing things that are not in line with the Lord and His Word. And if there is sin in your life and you've allowed it to grow and dwell in you, make no mistake about it. The Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. It's only fun for just a little while, the Bible teaches. It's only fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season. That sin will grow on you and it'll show on you. It'll put you exactly where God does not want you. Question, where are you today? Get a little complacent in the barn of life, so to speak. And you see the birds, the good crowd, if you will, that you handled, that you were with, that you hung around, if you will, at one time. They flew by, you heard it. He said, I want to be, but we got heavy with a load of sin. And now we can't flap our wings. We can barely just get up, but we became satisfied with where we are. That's what happened to Peter. Let me just say this, and I'm going to move on to my last point. I thank God the story didn't end there for Peter. And it doesn't have to end there with you. We see Peter's forgiveness. That same night, he sat there and he received a wake-up call. In verse number 74, then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not that man. Jesus predicted it. The third time the cock crowed, the Bible says. And immediately the cock crew. But Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter realized what he had done. At that time, he recalled the words of Jesus. Jesus said it would happen, Peter. And that cock went ahead and crowed. And the Bible says, you know what? At this time, I think it was conviction. And he went ahead, and the Bible says he went out, and he wept bitterly. You know what? That just wasn't just a little cry, I don't think. Well, poo-hoo, and, God, you know, No. I think he found himself a place. And he went ahead and wept. And he cried and said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I've wandered so far away from you. God, I walked with you at one time. You called me to be your apostle. I've done all that. I've seen your miracle. I've seen you. I know who you are, God. And I couldn't even stand with you at your darkest moment. I wouldn't even recognize you as my Savior. So, God, I'm weeping. I'm saying, God, forgive me. Hey, you know what? You can be restored this morning. Peter was. You could be restored this morning. I've got to land this thing, but you could be restored. You don't have to stay down there. You might be at the very bottom this morning, but why don't you decide, hey, you know what, preacher? I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back on my feet again. I'm going to go ahead and get excited about soul winning. I'm going to get back to reading my Bible. I'm going to get back to praying. I'm going to get back to lead my family again. I'm going to go ahead and live a spiritual life. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Hey, I'm going to go back and be what God wants. Hey, God, hey, I blew it back here. I'm sorry. I have slid back, but God, I'm weeping. I've given you my all here. So sorry. And you know, God went ahead and restored him. It wasn't many days later. Because of all that happened, and because of his repentance, it wasn't many days later. I think 30 to 45 days, somewhere around there. Don't hold me to that. Peter, days before, the one that followed afar off, the one that said, no, I don't know that man. The one that went home through, backstood on Christ. Guess what he was doing? He was preaching the most powerful revival service ever in the New Testament. The day of Pentecost. You know what? That was true repentance. He got on his knees and said, God, I'm sorry. And God went ahead and restored him and lifted him up out of the miry clay, set his feet upon a rock, and guess what? He was serving God. Listen to me. What is it, Christian, that's keeping you from serving God this morning? You've been there. You've known the excitement. You know the joy, but it's just kind of, well, preacher, But let me tell you something. That when people say that to me, there's a red flag. I say, let's get to my altar. We need to pray, man. We need to talk a little bit. Something not right. But you know what it is. You and God know what it is. What is it this morning? It's going to go ahead and draw you away from the Word of God, the things of God. What is it? You find yourself not as close to God as you once did. It doesn't matter. You know what? You may be here and say, well, I'm a faithful Sunday school teacher. I'm here. But you know your heart. You and God know the heart. Whatever it is, why don't you say, you know what? Yeah. If I'm not careful, I'm going to be like a Peter. Who's that? I don't know him. That church, I don't know. Them people, that word, that the Bible. If you're not careful, you may think, it couldn't happen to me. Crystal said, that teenager, that never happened to me. And she cried out bitterly to me. She should have gone ahead and gone to the same things right, but Pass the weeks. Tell them teenagers. They don't want this. I can take you story after story. People who went to the bottom, and yes, they came back. They get up and testifying. I've heard them testify, say, you don't want that. And let me tell you something. God went ahead and he established, I got my heart right with God. And now I'm moving on. My family's following me. And I decided I'll follow Jesus. And there ain't no turning back. You know what, Christian? I don't know where you are today. That's you. A little root of bitterness, a little something in your heart. You ought to say, you know what? I'm settling that thing today. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. That's where it begins right there. That's where it begins. You want to start a great life, you get saved this morning. You don't have to sit there and say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Today, you can know 100% sure if you'd die today, you'd go to heaven. All you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ. And if you're like that, you don't know, you're unsure this morning about Jesus, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. After a little while, I'm going to give you an opportunity with others. Others will come forward. Some Christians may come forward, do some business with God. But if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the most important decision you can make is you get saved today, and we'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can be saved so that you can go ahead and have that joy of walking with God. You can have that joy of being in the center of God's will. You know, I'm loving life this morning. You know why? I believe very strong I'm right where God wants me to be. You know who the happy crowd is this morning? If you had the pulpit for 30 seconds, you could get up and say, to my knowledge, me and my family, I mean, you know, my Bible reading, my devotions, you know, you got everything in line. You can say you're happy because I'm right, as far as I'm right where God wants me to be, surrounded in his presence. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. God, what a story of Peter. Man of God who fell miserably, but he didn't stay down. He came back. He responded to you. He got right with God, and you used him mightily on down the line there. We thank you for his story. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done this morning, maybe there's some unsaved one here. They don't know Jesus as Savior. I pray today that today will be the day of salvation for them. I pray they won't put it off. I pray they'll settle that issue this morning and know for sure before they leave Faith Baptist Church that they're on their way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that if there's some issues and some Christian here this morning, something that needs to be dealt with, there's an indifferent heart, there's a coldness, they're not close to you. There's something not right there. I pray, God, whatever it is, they'll go ahead and do business with God. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, preacher, you be honest. No one's looking around. Only me and God. And I won't embarrass you any way, shape, or form. But you say today, preacher, that's me. I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know, I got some things in my life. Just pray for me. That's me. Would you raise your hand? That's me. That's me. All over the room. Anybody else? That's me. Would you please pray with me? There's some things in my life. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to deal with it today. That's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? It's all right. Anybody else? Don't go ahead and be bashful. God knows. Anybody else, you may put your hands down. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. But today I want to be saved. I want to know for sure I'm a child of God. And I won't embarrass you in any way, but would you just raise up your hand. Just say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but would you please pray for me? At least pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this invitation. Holy Spirit, you do your perfect work. In Jesus' name. Our heads about.
Had a wonderful day downstairs, and we have some kids that got saved. Haley, she is from the bus route in Wareham. She got saved today. Angel, I know he was a new rider from Wareham today, got saved. Joey got saved today. Alex got saved today. All of them were from the new bus route in Wareham. And then Ethan Coughlin got saved today as well. So they had a wonderful, wonderful day downstairs. Praise the Lord for that. And just awesome to hear them reports. And again, church, thank you for praying this week. So I had a wonderful, wonderful week. Be here tonight, testimony time, to hear from our teenagers. Amen. Amen, Sean. Amen. We're excited about that. And it'll be a wonderful, wonderful evening, along with some preaching, different things like that. 6 o'clock. Brother Ron, would you come forward and close us in prayer this morning? He's back there.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for seeing you work this last week. Thank you for seeing you work this morning, Lord. I pray you be with us as we go. Bring us back safe tonight. Give us a good afternoon. And Lord, just can't thank you enough for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.